good.
Members will call the meeting to order. I know we've had a long afternoon of hearings for those who've been in the Finance Committee as well, and we have one bill to hear today. Before we get started and accept a motion on the minutes, I wanted to cover a few things. We are coming up on some important committee deadlines, particularly for any bills that save or spend money. Any bills that save or spend money need to be introduced and hearing requests submitted pretty much by the end of next week, and the sooner the better. So just a notice, if you've got ideas you're working on, if you've got bills you're working on, you're looking to get a few more signatures on it before you throw it in the hopper, now is the time to wrap that up and get the bills in. We're looking for any help anybody wants to provide in the way of reforms, savings. If you happen to have a way you want to spend money that trades one priority for another, we can talk about that too. But we really do have next week as kind of a deadline for getting those things in, so we meet the finance deadline. If a finance bill needs to come through our committee, that's next week. For policy, pure policy bills, we have until the end of April. So we have a fair amount of time yet for those. But anything that saves or spends money, we really need to have introduced and hearing requests submitted by the end of next week. Also, we're going to try to start on time every meeting. I realize today was kind of a long day, so we took a break, and that's important too. Representative Loeffler will have a bill. I did want to note on the lighter note, it is Mary Franson's birthday today. She's not even here to accept our congratulations, but you know, we'll kind of in absentia we'll congratulate her on her birthday. And then a point of personal privilege, I wanted to note today is Minnesota Nurses Association Day at the Capitol and on the Hill, and so we want to welcome all of them, and in particular a soon-to-be RN who also happens to be my daughter, Catherine Gottwald, up here in the audience. So very proud of her. This is a brave new healthcare world you're entering, my baby girl. So with that, Representative Loeffler has a bill she wants to hear, and we're looking forward to hearing it. In the meantime, as Representative Loeffler is getting ready, I'll entertain a motion to approve our minutes from February 23rd. Representative Benson moves the minutes from February 23rd. Very good. He's reviewed them carefully and seen no discussion on the minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and the minutes of February 23rd are approved. Okay, Representative Loeffler, do you want to move your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move that House File 248 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Commerce.
Very good. Representative Loeffler has moved her bill. No amendments?
No amendments. This is an interesting bill in that the title is longer than the bill itself.
Representative Loeffler, do you want to give us a little background about the work group?
I would be delighted to. What this bill does is it repeals a current state mandate on small businesses that don't offer group health insurance to their employees. And it came out of a legislative established working group that met throughout the summer, a small group insurance working group that was assigned to look at a whole variety of issues to help small and mid-sized businesses with their health insurance costs. And the working group includes small and mid-sized employers, employees of those size firms, health plans, insurance agents, actuaries, and others. And the work group will continue through this year, but this bill implements their first consensus recommendation. And what it does is it repeals, as I said, a mandate that currently requires employees or employers that don't offer group health insurance to their employees to set up Section 125 plans that those employees can take advantage of to help with the cost of their individual policy premiums. And let me give you a little bit of background. Many years ago, the federal tax code was revised to allow companies to establish what are known as Section 125 plans. And they allow employees to pay for their health insurance premiums with pre-tax dollars. And it really is a win-win for both employers and employees, because the employee pays for their premiums with pre-tax dollars, And the employer is able to save money by not having to pay Social Security, FICA taxes, Medicare taxes, or the unemployment compensation taxes on those funds that are being used to pay those health insurance premiums. So it benefits both the employer and employee. And basically, as a result, almost all employers that offer health insurance to their employees, you take advantage of this. Well, but as we know, not all employers offer health insurance to their employees. And so it was put into law, and I'm not sure when or by whom, but a provision that required employers who didn't offer health insurance as on a group basis to their employees to set up a Section 125 plan so that when their employees went out on the free market, worked with an insurance agent, bought their own individual policy, they could also pay for their premiums with pre-tax dollars. And that was the theory, that it was going to help make insurance more affordable for those people. It also had an opt-out. So small employers could either set up these Section 125 plans, or they could say they had studied the issue, reviewed it, and decided to opt out and not offer that. Well, the reality is, basically, everybody opted out. We did have a small grant program of about $350 to help with the administrative costs of setting these up. But because these plans are somewhat complex to administer, because of some court rulings that make small employers nervous about setting up these particular IRS plans, especially when they don't offer health insurance, it really hasn't achieved the policy goal of helping more people have affordable access to health insurance. And so this bill would simply take one more business requirement off the books that really isn't achieving anything but a mandate on the books that isn't helping either employers or employees very much. And I thought, since we had a fair amount of time for this small little bill, I would also provide you a copy of the information that's in your packet, which gives a little bit of background of the percent of employers offering health insurance coverage by firm size. And you might be aware of that 62%, according to the last Minnesota Department of Health study, 62% of Minnesotans get their health insurance coverage through their employer. And then this shows the coverage by firm size. All firms from the period of 1996-97 to 2008-09, there was actually a slight increase. 54% of the firms do offer employer-based coverage. But you'll notice that there's a real difference when you look at the size of the firm. The 1 to 49 employees, it's dropped but a little bit, but pretty much stayed constant. The 50 to 99 employee size firms, that grouping dropped almost 9% from 88% to 79.5%. And the 100 plus employee firms actually grew in terms of the percent of offering health insurance to their employees. And you can see why our work group was focusing a lot on that 50 to 99 group, simply because they don't have some of the protections that we've provided for small employers in terms of rate increased protection, guaranteed issue, and some other provisions. And the information down below just gives you some basic information about how the cost of health care has actually changed, even within companies that offer health insurance, what percentage of their employees are eligible. They might require you to get through 6 months or a year of probation. They might require you to work so many hours. And so that's been changing over time, and I just thought that would be some useful information that's been kind of useful to the committee as it's tried to define the problem. With that, I would be glad to answer any questions, and I do have one testifier in support of the bill.
Very good. Members, any questions to Representative Loeffler on the bill? Hearing none, let's move to your testifier, Representative
Loeffler. I have Mr. Mike Hickey from the National Federation of Independent Businesses.
Welcome to the committee,
who
Mr. Hickey.
Was an active member of our work group.
Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, Mr. Chairman. Mike Hickey with the National Federation of Independent Business. We're the largest business group in terms of entities with 12,000 members statewide and a very affected constituency of all these various health insurance issues we face up here. I want to thank Representative Loeffler for bringing this bill forward. I did serve on the working group with her. this mandate actually came from the Pliny administration, Representative Wofford. So we appreciate you helping us put the final, putting it into its grave today and maybe throwing the final dirt over the top of a nice bipartisan effort. But this was a well-intentioned idea that in reality just didn't work, because people who don't offer health insurance aren't going to really understand what a Section 125 plan is, or possibly even know what it is. And on top of that, be very, very well equipped to deal with the intricacies of having one, filing requirements, and other due diligence involved with maintaining a Section 125 plan and staying in good stead with our friendly folks at the IRS. And so I think that was the biggest problem with this bill, is that the idea was a good one, but the practical reality of trying to deal with that was just not a good one for people who, in most cases, don't even offer health insurance. Most people bring a Section 125 plan on after they have a group plan. It's something they add to it. It's all kinds of usages are allowed now. It's beyond eyeglasses and contact solution. I've been told bus passes and daycare and whatnot, but the people who are utilizing this have a health plan. They add it. They've got somebody like Representative Grunhagen helping them out with their annual health insurance needs and responsibilities. So to take this other group that didn't even understand what it was about, more than likely didn't offer health insurance, it just didn't work. And so really appreciate Representative Loeffler stepping forward and erasing this from the statutes. And I believe the compliance was incredibly low. About six or seven people went on the computer at the Department of Commerce and checked off, and the vast majority of the people just never even knew about it. And so appreciate you bringing this bill forward.
Good. Members, any question for the testifier? Representative Kiffmeyer.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that I read through the handout and the House research. I think my question were answered sufficiently for now. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Grunhagen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I'd just wanted to voice, as a health insurance agent for over 30-some years, I completely agree with the testifier's perspective. I think it's well-intentioned, but it's misdirected. I think if an employer that size wants to do something like that, that can be between themselves and their employees. And there should be plenty of health insurance agents around to answer any questions they have on that. So again, it's one of those well-intended mandates that does not produce very good results.
Members, other questions? I have one, actually, Representative Loeffler. I'm sorry, Representative Peterson. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And since I wasn't as acquainted with the 125 plans, it really does sound like a good idea. And are there any statistics on how many companies or employers took advantage of these plans? And now that we're not going to have them anymore, what will they do? Are they going to feel a little abused by the legislature who gives and then takes away?
Representative Loeffler.
Mr. Chair and Representative Peterson, I can tell you that the vast majority of 125 plans will remain in place and should remain in place and are doing wonderful things for both employers and employees. And almost all employers who offer health insurance set them up. We heard testimony in our small group that even the smallest companies are stepping up because of the savings to the employee as well as to the employer. And so this will not change that. What it simply does is eliminates the requirement that if your company cannot yet afford to offer health insurance on a group basis to your employees, that you don't have to set up this plan for health insurance when you don't even know if any of them will go out in the private market and buy insurance on their own. We've heard, you know, some small companies might have, you know, three employees, and if they're all covered by a spouse's policy, they wouldn't want to set up a Section 125 plan that nobody would take advantage of. And so it's just taking off a mandate from employers who don't offer health insurance yet. And if they do step up and offer health insurance, we've been told that people in the industry will definitely advise them on how to set these up and why it's to the advantage of them and their employees. And so I think for most people, it will definitely not make any change. It's just for those businesses that haven't grown large enough to step up with health insurance, it's one less thing that's on the books that we expect of them.
Thank you. Okay, very good. I should ask, is there anybody in the audience here to testify either for or against this bill? Anybody in the audience to testify for or against this bill? Okay, members, any other questions? One other question I might have since we have time, Representative Loeffler, is are there other recommendations coming out of this working group that we'll see before this committee? Or?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The working group has not met since December, and it is hoping that now that we'll be able to get some actuarial work done on the possibilities of how to deal with this group as we go forward with the exchange, with other things, and so that there was a survey that was going to be done by the Department of Health, and we felt like until we got really solid data, we were really not working in an area in which we would have the ability to provide thoughtful, informed recommendations that we would know the impact of. I should also, since we just have a little bit of time, acknowledge Ms. Tina Armstrong from the Commerce Department, who was part of the Cracker Jack staff that helped us with our work and will continue to do that. Some of you knew Mr. John Gross, who has been an invaluable resource to this committee on all things insurance, and he retired. He was actually working as the chair of this committee, he retired after 40 years of wonderful service, but Tina has absorbed that encyclopedic knowledge, and we really appreciate that she was part of it. I should also acknowledge that Representative Denny McNamara was a member of the group as well and participated in the committee.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Loeffler. We have a question from Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Loeffler, now this, I'm sorry, I'm not sure, does this doesn't repeal the one section 125 of the IRS code, does it?
No, it better not, Mr.
Chair.
The intent was only to take away a requirement on small businesses for which
the requirement,
the section 125 plan doesn't fit.
Sorry, Representative McDonald.
Mr. Chairman, yes, thank you very much. I personally, as a small businessman who has less than 11, I wasn't aware of the 125. I guess shame on me or my accountant. I'll have to talk to them. But it seems like a program that certainly could be an advantage to the small business person. And I want to thank you for bringing this to my attention anyway, and hopefully we can bring it to the rest of the business, small business, and women out there in our state as well.
I'll stop over and sell you one.
Hey, he was out of order, Mr. Chairman.
I acknowledge that.
The chairman will take that under advisement. I won't rule on it just yet. Representative Grinhagen, do you have a question?
No.
Just a comment, huh? Okay. Very good. Well, Representative Loeffler, I too want to thank you for bringing this forward. I think, you know, as much as what we do around here is often about what government does for, it's also what we try to help government not do. And when we find things like this that aren't exactly working, it's appropriate to take them back. So I appreciate you bringing this forward. Members, any other questions, any other discussion to the bill? Hearing none, Representative Loeffler renews her motion that House File 248 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Commerce and Regulatory Reform. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion prevails. And the bill is passed and re-referred to the Committee on Commerce and Regulatory Reform. Members, that will wrap it up for today. Just a reminder to those who were not here, we have, for any bill that spends or saves money, next week is kind of the deadline for us to be seeing an introduction and committee hearing request. Tomorrow we will not be meeting. We will be hearing bills on Tuesday and Wednesday next week. So with that, good government all the time. This meeting is adjourned. Yeah.